نعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له من يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدى هدى نبينا صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. As it relates to the topic of today's discussion or advice concerning how each and every one of us, myself included, how we can, the things that we can do to become better Muslims, or as it's written here, an advice to the Muslim youth of today on perfecting good character and manners, should be mentioned, Ikhwani, as we said yesterday in the Khutbah Tul Jum'ah, that anyone who wants to know how to do something in this deen, then the means and the ways, they are there. They just require the individual putting the effort forward to come to know and to find out what our religion is saying about that particular thing. As it relates to the good character in al-Islam, there are too many things that can be mentioned concerning it before we even get into the systematic way that someone can go about perfecting his own character. As it relates to the importance of al-husnu, al-khuluq, in the religion of al-Islam, good character, there are many things, as I mentioned, that could be said. One of the clear evidences that show the importance of good character is his statement, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, innama bu'ithtu li'utammama makarim al-akhlaq. I have been sent to perfect the good character. So it's as if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has made the whole reason of his coming to Bani Adam as an attempt to rectify and to perfect the character of the people. That was his mission. So he called the people to a tawheed, which is the best characteristic that the Muslim can possibly have, that he is a muwahid. And he called the people and encouraged them and commanded them to take aboard other character traits that we're going to come upon, insha'Allah ta'ala. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, what was collected by Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim, he described Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said about him, kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ahsan al-nasi khuluqa. He was the person who had the best character, salawatullahi wasalamu alayhi. And our mother Aisha, when she was asked about him, he said, or she said, kana khuluquhu al-Qur'an. His character was the Qur'an. When you see him, you actually see the Qur'an being translated and manifested in the way he carried on and in the way that he behaved. So husnu khuluq in the religion of al-Islam, ikhwani, it has been touched upon and it has been dealt with in detail by Allah Azza wa Jalla in the Quran and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his authentic sunnah. The man came and he asked him about that thing which will cause a person or the people to go into Jannah more than anything else. What thing will cause a person to go to Jannah more than anything else? He says sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-husnul khuluq, the good character, which goes to show again the importance of having good character. Another man came to ask him about al-birr and al-ithm. The man wanted to know, what is righteousness? What is al-birr? And what is ithm? What is the sin? He says, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, al-birru husnu khuluq wal-ithm ma haka fi nafsik wa kirihtin yattala alayhi nas. Al-birr or righteousness is having good character. And ithm or the sin is that thing that you know you did, or you know you fell into it, and you hate for the people to come to know about that particular thing. If they came to know about it, it would make you uneasy. So again, he described al-birr as being the one who is upon and who has good character, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Concerning the good character, ikhwani, and how to go about perfecting it, before we even mention that, there's something that you should understand, we all should understand, and that is that Allah Ta'ala has created His creation, the Muslims from them and the Kuffar from them, and there are some people who He has blessed with good character. They don't have to make that much effort. They are the individuals who, they're already patient, they're already generous, they have their anger under control, they love for people what they love for themselves, they don't have a problem or difficulty with lowering their gaze, they don't talk too much. They are those people who, if you leave something with them and you entrust them with this particular thing, they're going to take care of it. They already have good character. It is a hadiyah from Allah, a mohiba. It is something that Allah al-Wahhab has just bestowed on that person. And even kuffar have that. What's the dalil of that? The fact that some people, they just have good character. They don't have to work at it, like myself, like maybe some of you. The vast majority of people, they have to make a struggle not to talk too much. They have to struggle to get their anger under control. They have to make a struggle to not smoke weed. They have to make a struggle not to find enjoyment at listening to rumors. Qila wa qal. Most people are like that. But there are some people who they're just like that naturally, even from the kuffar. The dalil of that is the hadith and the sunan of al-imam al-Tirmidhi. The companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ashaj Abdul Qais radiallahu anhu. He has a strange name, Ashaj Abdul Qais. He came with his people to Al-Madinah, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever people would come to him to Al-Madinah, he would choose someone from amongst those people to be the Amir, if they didn't have an Amir, so that he can go back and he would be in charge of those people. But what he used to do was, he wasn't too quick to choose an Amir. He will look at the people and look at them very closely. He wanted to make sure that the person that he chose was the most qualified and competent man for the job. So after spending a few days in Medina, he said to this man, Ashaj Abdul Qais radiallahu anhu, Inna fika khaslatain yuhibbuhum Allah, al-hil wal-anat. He said to that man, you have two characteristics that Allah loves. And when Allah loves, He loves in a way that befits His majesty. He has the characteristic of love. He loves the believers. He loves the khayr. He subhanahu wa ta'ala, He loves that the Muslims are on top, and other than that, He loves in a way that befits His majesty. Wa laysa kamithlihi shay. You have two characteristics that Allah loves. You have the first characteristic, which is al-hil. You're a man who is halim. You're easygoing, you're gentle, and you're soft. And you have al-anat. Al-anat is the characteristic of an individual who, he's not in haste. He's not in a hurry to make decisions. He's not in a hurry to divorce or to marry, to invest, not to invest. He's the type of individual who's going to take his time. The narration comes to him, the rumor comes to him, the thing that he heard. He's not quick to go and tell people about it. Muslims need this characteristic today. He told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kafa bil mar'i kadhiba, and yuhaddith bi kulli ma sami'a. It is enough for a person to be considered to be a liar. You may be truthful, but it is enough to be considered a liar if you are an individual who speaks about everything you hear. That's not our deen. You have to have anat, like this man. You have to take it easy. If a person speaks about everything that he hears, what's the meaning of the hadith? We hear what's truthful, and we hear what's not truthful. So if everything you hear, you spoke about it to the next man, you said it, you mentioned it, then you're going to tell people what is truthful, and you're going to tell the people what is a lie. So if you're an individual who speaks about everything that you hear, without weighing it, without considering it, then that's enough for you to be considered to be a kadhab, a liar. So that man, Ashaj Abdul Qais, he had those two characteristics. He asked the question, Ya Rasulullah, Hal ana atakhalliqu biha, aw hiya shay'un jabalani la alayhima. These two characteristics that I have, Ya Rasulullah, are they a result of the fact that I obtained them, I came about making myself someone who's Halim and I have Anat, or are they two characteristics that Allah has just placed in me? Rasulullah told him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, balillah jabalaka alayhima. Allah put them in you. You didn't do anything about it. Allah made you a man who is truthful. Allah made you a man who has sabr. Allah made you a man who has hilm. You're easygoing. Allah made you a man who's rahim. Allah made you a man who has this characteristic. The man, upon hearing that, he said, Alhamdulillah, alladhi jabalani ala khullatain. Yuhibbuhum Allahu wa rasuluhu. All praises due to Allah for giving me these two characteristics that Allah loves and His Messenger. So the delil from that, what's the point of all of that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is Al-Wahhab, the bestower, He bestowed on this man those two characteristics. As it relates to the kuffar also, some of them had this. There are certain kuffar who, if you have your own business, you travel to Saudi Arabia to perform Hajj or Umrah, you leave him in charge of your business, you come back, he's going to give you all of your money. He's going to protect your money. Whereas if you hide a Muslim, certain Muslims from amongst us, he's not going to take care of it. He's not going to take care of the trust. Allah mentioned about Ahl al-Kitab, وَإِن مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ مَنْ إِن تَأْمَنْهُ بِقِنْتَارٍ يُؤَدِّهِ إِلَيْكَ وَمِنْهُ مَنْ إِن تَأْمَنْهُ بِدِنَارٍ لَا يُؤَدِّهِ إِلَيْكَ إِلَّا مَا دُمْتَ عَلَيْهِ قَائِمًا. From the Ahl al-Kitab are certain people who, if you gave them a whole treasure and told him, hold this as an amanah, he'll give it right back to you when you come to ask for it. And from them are also those people who, if you gave them only one dinar, they're not going to give it back to you unless you stood over him and you demanded your money. So that ayah goes to show, from Ahl al-Kitab, from the kuffar, are those individuals. You can give him a whole hoard of treasure. When you want your amana, when you want your money, he's going to give it back to you, because Allah gave him that kind of akhlaq. He's not necessarily a religious man, Christian, Jew. He's not necessarily committed to any deen. That's just his nature. So some people, and they're the few, they're the minority, Allah has given them good character. But the majority of the people, they have to work on it. They have to make jihad. They have to make an effort. Rasulullah told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ بِالتَّعَلُّمُ وَإِنَّمَا الْحِلْمُ بِالتَّحَلُّمْ. Verily knowledge comes as a result of you going out and getting the knowledge. And being an alim, or knowing your religion, is from the best characteristic. The one who is ignorant, that's a terrible characteristic, to be described as being ignorant, jahil. And that's why everyone wants to connect himself to knowledge. Everyone wants to talk about the deen, give fatwas. People find it difficult to say, Allahu alam, I don't know. Because no one wants to be looked down as being ignorant. So having knowledge is from the best characteristics. So he said, إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ بِالتَّعَلُّمُ. Knowledge comes as a result of you going out and getting it. You're not going to sit in your house, in the comfort of your living room, and then you're going to memorize Juz Amma just sitting in your home. It's not going to happen. Allah is capable of making it happen. You can go to sleep and wake up, and the Quran is in your head, in your heart. Allah can do that. But usually it's not going to happen. So knowledge comes as a result of going out and getting it. And al-hilm, that word again, being halim, it also comes as a result of an individual developing it within himself. So those are the two ways that people can develop good akhlaq. Allah gives it to you as a ni'mah, a favor from Him. He gave it to all of the anbiya and all of the rusul. Before they were commissioned to be anbiya and rusul, they used to have good akhlaq. So that when they started giving dawah, the people didn't say, but you did this, but you did that. And the other thing is, most people have to develop it. So that's what we're talking about here today. How do we go about developing, according to the Quran and the Sunnah, the authentic Sunnah? What are some of the things that can be done for the individual who he wants to do good? But there are different things that are going on that shaitan always seems to drag them back and pull them back. What did the religion say could be done to perfect one's character? There are many things. We'll mention four here today, inshallah ta'ala. At the top of the list, Ikhwani, the first thing and the foremost thing is, if a person wants to perfect his akhlaq, he has to first believe that he can't change himself. If he has a defeated attitude, defeatist attitude, some of the elders from amongst us, he smokes cigarettes, for an example. He smokes weed as a girlfriend. He says, Wallahi, I've been smoking cigarettes for the last 12, 15 years. I can't stop smoking cigarettes. If he says that, he'll never stop. In Ramadan, before Ramadan, after Ramadan, he'll never stop. Because he doesn't believe it can happen. So he defeated himself. And that's from a shaitan. That's from a shaitan. The companions were a group of people who were just like us, human beings, from the Bashar. And some of them had terrible akhlaq. Some of them murdered people unjustly. Some of them used to deal in prostitution. Some of them were prostitutes. Some of them were pimps. Some of them used to drink khamr, and they were addicted to khamr. Some of them would take you, invite you to the home, or invite you to his tent, feed you, and then sell you into slavery. They were doing a lot of things. But when the deen came to them, the deen changed their character, because the Prophet was sent, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to perfect good character. So the first thing the person has to do is, he has to believe that his character can be changed, whatever it is that he's doing. If he doesn't believe that, he's in trouble. He lost the battle before even beginning. And this is supported by the Quran and the Sunnah, and it's also supported by the waqi', or the reality that we're living in. From the Quran and Sunnah is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah does not burden a person or a soul beyond its scope. Everything that we're dealing with in our lives, having money, not having money, being sick, being alone, someone was molested, whatever you're dealing with, Allah gave everyone here the ability to deal with this problem based upon this ayat of the Quran. Allah does not put any burden on a person that he cannot handle. So, since he doesn't burden us with the legislation of the deen, we should understand from this ayat, since it's been legislated to have good akhlaq, we all have the ability to change. By the text of that ayat, he mentioned in another ayat of the Quran, وَلَن نَجْعَلْ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجْ. We have not made anything in your religion difficult. So a person can't come and say, oh, you can't teach a old dog new tricks, I can't change. The religion commanded you to have good akhlaq. In some of the ayats and hadith that we mentioned, قَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَىٰ عَلَىٰ وَسَلَّمْ مَا مِنْ شَيْءٍ أَسْقَلُوا فِي مِيزَانِ الْمُؤْمِنِ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ مِنَ الْحُسْنِ الْخُلُقِ أَوَ الْخُلُقُ الْحُسْنِ. There is nothing that will be in the mizan or the scale of the believer يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ that is heavier than good character. So that hadith is encouraging us to have good character. Since he commanded and encouraged us to have good character, it's a proof that we all have the ability to do it. That's the Quran proving everyone can change. As for the dunya, it proves that the proof that everyone can change is the fact that, Khwani, all you have to do is go to the local circus. Go to the local circus. The people in the circus, they've taken those wild animals out of their environment. Lions, tigers, bears. They've taken whales out of the environment that the whale is used to, seals, and other than that. Some of those animals, their nature and their character is to be wild, to eat you, to be wild. But the human being trained them, and now the man comes, he opens the lion's mouth, and he put his head in the mouth of the lion, and the lion doesn't eat his head. Because his character was trained to be patient and not to eat the man's head. So if Allah Azza wa Jalla has created the nature of those wild animals like that, and then they get with the program after being trained, then surely Bani Adam, who has intellect, he has the ability to change his character. He has the ability to change his character. So do not have a defeated attitude. No matter what it is a person is doing, he's a crackhead. He is addicted to a serious narcotic. He cannot say, I can't do it. If he says he can't do it, he'll never do it. If she says she can't do it, she'll never do it. But if he believes or she believes Allah has given them the ability to do it, then that is the first step towards progress. The second thing, ikhwani, and this is kind of difficult here in the environment that we live in, but it's not impossible. But it comes from the authentic sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what we see him doing with his companions, and that is, the one who wants to change his self, change his character, he has to do what those companions did. And that is that the companions took for themselves a scholar, a sheikh, a teacher, who gave them the time of day, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to address the issues that they needed to know. They didn't cut themselves off of the sheikh or the teacher, the muallim, the muwajjih, the one who was going to give them directions and instructions and help them based upon his knowledge, based upon his own taqwa, based upon his experience. So from what will help a person to perfect his character is a person finding someone of knowledge who is reliable and competent, trustworthy. He has some taqwa, and you're going to put yourself at his service. But you got to be careful. Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Sirin in the Muqaddimah of Al-Imam Muslim, the Sahih of Al-Imam Muslim, he said, rahimahullahu ta'ala, and he was from the Tabi'een, إن هذا العلم دين فلينظر أحدكم من من يأخذ دينه. This knowledge of Islam is your religion. So let everybody pay attention who you take your religion from. So you want to get a sheikh, you can't just go and get anybody to be a person who's going to teach you. Because people will lie to you, they'll cheat you, they'll take advantage of you. How many are the people today from the peers and other than the peers who are stealing the monies of the people and manipulating the people, taking advantage of the people? As it relates to what Rasulullah showed us concerning this issue, there are too many examples. The example of Bilal ibn Rabah and Abu Dharr al-Ghaffari radiallahu anhuma, two of the tremendous and illustrious companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Dharr was an Arab who was a pure Arab. In his blood, the pure blood of the Arabs ran through his veins. He was from the tribe of Al-Ghaffar. He got into a misunderstanding with Bilal, just as we get into misunderstandings. This one is Pakistani, and this one is other than Pakistani. This one is Somalian, and this one is other than Somalian. And as a result of that, we hurl abuses at each other. Abu Dharr became upset with Bilal, and he called him what was equivalent to a nigger. Yeah, he said to him, "Ya ibn imra'at as-sawda, you son of a black lady," putting him down because of who gave birth to him, a black lady. Bilal doesn't have anything to do with that. It's not his fault. And that's a statement that is not acceptable in Islam. Bilal radiallahu anhu, upon hearing that, he didn't push Jahiliyyah back with Jahiliyyah, rolled up his sleeves, and then got busy with Abu Dharr. He didn't do that. He didn't say back to him something that will hurt him or pay him back for the abuse that was given to Bilal. Bilal went to Rasulullah, the Sheikh, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to rectify the problem. He told him what was said to him. Rasulullah, upon hearing the statement of Bilal, Bilal made a lot of sacrifices in al-Islam. He preceded Abu Dharr to this deen. He was the muezzin. He proved his iman. He proved his love for Allah and his messenger. Rasulullah had every reason to take Bilal's side of the story without confirming. Bilal wasn't known as a liar. He's from the imma of the thiqat. He's the imam of the truthful ones. They used to call him the amin of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the one who makes the adhan, the muazzin in al-Islam. He has to have the amana, he has to be amin. How are we going to let someone make the adhan who he doesn't even know when it's the right time? He has to be amin. But despite that, Rasulullah asked Abu Dharr, after hearing Bilal's side of the story, "Ya Abu Dharr, did you say that to this man?" Abu Dharr said, "Yes, Ya Rasulullah, he made me upset, so the words came out of my mouth." He asked him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Do you criticize a man because of his mother? أَتُعِيرُ رَجُلٍ بِسَبَبْ أُمِّهِ إِنَّكَ مْرِئٌ فِيكَ جَاهِلِيَّةٌ." Do you criticize a man because of his mother? You are a man that has inside of you jahiliyah. Anyone who's walking around talking about these types of issues, white boy, nigga, he's this haki, he's this, he's that. Anyone who's walking around like that, you are a person carrying around with you jahiliyah. He lives on the estate over there, and that one lives on the estate over there, and he's talking about my estate. He's all of that is jahiliyah. You are a person who has jahiliyah. Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu went to Bilal to apologize. He told him, "Ya Bilal," he got on the floor, put his face on the floor. He told him, "Put your foot on my cheek. Put your foot on my cheek to pay me back for what I said to you." Bilal said, "I'll never put my foot on the face of an individual who makes sajda to Allah Azza wa Jal." From the good akhlaq is to pardon the individual. From the good akhlaq is not to take revenge when you have the ability to take revenge. So that's an example of the Shaykh sallallahu alayhi wa sallam identifying for his student what his problem is. You got jahiliyyah in you. You have to rectify that problem. You talk too much. You are too shadeed with your family or other than that. And there are too many examples that we can give, Ikhwani. Every companion who made a mistake and Rasulullah talked to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is an example of this. The companion Abu Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said he had a slave who made him upset one day. He became so upset that he struck his slave, and without looking he heard a voice say to him, "Ya Abu Mas'ud." He said, "But I was so angry that I didn't recognize who the voice was until Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came and touched me on my shoulder, and then I looked and he told me sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, inna allaha aqdaru alayka mimma anta alayhi. Allah has more power over you to deal with you, to destroy you. He got more power over you than you have over that slave guy. You only can do so much against him. Only if Allah allows you can you do anything against him. Whereas as it relates to you and Allah, Allah Azza wa Jal can do what he wants to do to you and no one can stop it." Abu Mas'ud said, "So the thing that I hit him with, that I hit the slave with, it fell out of my hand, out of and from the haiba of Rasulullah." The haiba is the fear that the person has of the person in position of authority. Some of us, we're in this country and we're trying to get our paperwork together with the Home Office. They tell you to come to the Home Office next Monday for your appointment. When you go, you're nervous. That's haiba. You're nervous not because you're nervous of them. There may be an old lady sitting behind the desk, so if you had to fight the old lady, you'll beat her up. You're not afraid of her as an old lady. You're afraid of the situation. They may say to you, "You gotta go. You gotta travel. We're going to deport you." So as a result of that, you have the haiba. That's how the companions were with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The man would come to see him for the first time. The man was shaking. The people can see his thobe shaking. Rasulullah would put his hand on his shoulder and tell him, "I have not been sent as a king. I have been sent as a mercy unto the people." And then he read the ayat of the Quran, "Wama arsalnaka illa rahmatan lil alamin." And then the man would calm down. Just from meeting him, the man was nervous. This is a person to be reckoned with. So that's how the companions were with the ulama. Unfortunately, today, this is not the case. The person is not like that with any person in position of authority. It's whether it's an elder, whether it's a relative, whether it's the authorities, he doesn't care, he has no respect. But that isn't the way of the Muslim. So, that's a classic case of the sheikh, the muallim, the teacher, taking the time out to identify for the student, for that individual, what his character flaw is, so as to rectify the problem. Abu Mas'ud said, "After that, I told Rasulullah, wallahi ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I swear by Allah that I'll never hit another slave as long as I live. And that man is free for the face of Allah. I free him for Allah's sake." Rasulullah told that man, salawatullah wa salamuhu alayhi, "If you didn't do what you just did, you would have been scorched by the hellfire." So we see after the Prophet rectified the problem, the man quickly answered the call and he changed his persona. He changed that thing that he was doing. As I mentioned, there are too many examples that we can give. He said to the sister of one of his companions, and that lady happened to be one of his wives, Hafsa radiallahu anha. Her brother Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, Rasulullah said to his sister, to his wife, Ni'ma rajul akhuki Abdullah ibn Umar, lawla annahu lam yatruk as-salah. Your brother Abdullah ibn Umar is a very good man, only if he didn't abandon the salat. Hafsa heard the kalam of the Shaykh sallallahu alayhi wasallam, went to her brother and said, Rasulullah said, you're a good man, only if you didn't leave off the salat. Abdullah ibn Umar said, after I heard that from my sister, I never abandoned the salat anymore. Some of you who are sitting there right now, you may think that the salat that was being referred to, who is the salawat al-khamsa, zuhur, and all of that, hashalillah, wasn't from those prayers. None of the companions used to abandon the prayer. As a matter of fact, they used to not see the abandonment of anything as being kufr other than the salat. If a person abandoned the salat with them, he was considered to be a kafir. And for those scholars who take the position that the one who doesn't pray, even though he believes salat is wajib, he just doesn't pray because he's lazy. But if you ask him, is salat wajib? He say, Naam wallahi, it's from the important affair. There are scholars who say you are kafir. One of the strongest delils that they have is the fact that the Salaf, radiallahu anhum ajma'in, they were of the opinion that the abandonment of this thing, this was the only thing they felt. If you leave it, you are now Muslim. The salat that Rasulullah was referring to in this hadith was the salat of the Qiyamul Layl. The salat of Qiyamul Layl. So as a result of that, when Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu heard about it, he began to never leave off that particular salat. But as I mentioned, Ikhwani, here in England, in London in particular, kind of difficult to fulfill this particular issue to correct one's character, because there are not too many qualified, bona fide people who you can trust. He may have knowledge, but he's not the best example. He may be a good example, but he doesn't have knowledge. So you have to look for the individual who has all of those characteristics. And if you can't find someone who has the complete package, then you do what the Prophet said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as it relates to jihad and as it relates to shooting the arrow or shooting the gun, killing the enemy. He said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, saddidu wa qaribu, saddidu wa qaribu, come as close to the bullseye as you possibly can. You may not be an expert marksman, but that shouldn't say to you, because I can't hit the bullseye, I'm not going to shoot at all. Come as close to it as you can. You're in the race to memorize Juz Amma with four or five other people, but you just began to learn Arabic. You're going to be behind. Don't say, I can't do it, so you give up the process altogether. Do as much as you possibly can. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. And in addition to that, as it was proved with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before he began the battle of Badr, and Allah Azza wa Jal told him to pick up the sand and to throw the sand at the kuffar. He threw the sand at the kuffar and they were far away. The sand blinded all of the kuffar. And Allah told him, مَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى. You didn't throw, Ya Muhammad, when you threw, but Allah threw. He threw, but Allah caused the end result. So, سَدِّدُوا وَقَارِبُوا. Look for an individual who comes close to the complete package that you can possibly find. The third thing, Ikhwani, is a bit more easier, but you got to pay attention to this one, because most people are maghboon in this one. They are losers. They have fallen into khasara. And it's easy. It's an easy process. But Allah doesn't give the tawfiq to the majority of the people in this. You want to correct your character? Then the third thing is to choose for yourself a friend who's going to love you, and he's going to be your friend for Allah's cause and Allah's cause alone and nothing else. He's going to love you for Allah and he's going to hate you for Allah. He's not going to love you because of anything other than Allah Azza wa Jal. The Prophet told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, awthaqur al-Islam, awthaqur al-Iman, al-hub fillah, wal-bughd fillah. The strongest, highest level of faith is for a person to love for Allah and to hate for Allah. That means to love his wife for Allah. That means to love his friend for Allah. That means to hate people for Allah's cause. He doesn't hate people because of his hawa. They live in the south and I live in the north. They're from that tribe, I'm from this tribe. They don't hate people based upon hasad, envy, and jealousy. They love for Allah and they hate solely for Allah. The highest level of al-Iman. Qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thalatha. Man wajadahunna wajada halawat al-Imani. Three things. If a person finds these things in himself, he will taste the sweetness of al-Iman. An yakuna Allahu wa rasuluhu ahabba ilayhi mimma siwahima. He loves Allah and His Messenger more than he loves anything else. His country can be in the World Cup. His country can be in the World Cup. But when it's time for the Salat, he's going to pray. He's not going to delay. Even if they're in the middle of shooting those penalties. It ended in 0-0. It's time for Maghrib. They're getting ready to shoot those penalties. He is not going to put the soccer over the Salah. Because he loves Allah and his messenger more than anyone else. He's not going to fight and kill another Muslim because he's from another tribe or another part of the country or another estate. If there's a problem between him and some non-Muslims, between him and non-Muslims, he found his brother on the side of the non-Muslims, that one Muslim is going to be against his friends of the non-Muslims and he's going to support his Muslim brother. So he loves Allah and his message and he loves him more than anything else. The second thing, ikhwani, he said, and yuhibbu al-mar' wa la yuhibbuhu illa lillah. He loves a person and he only loves that individual for Allah's sake and Allah's sake alone. Whoever has that, he'll taste the sweetness of al-Iman. And the third thing is, he hates to go back to kufr after he was guided to al-Islam, just as he hates to be thrown into the hellfire. So he has to get a friend. He described the relationship between the believers and he said, al-mu'min mir'atul mu'min. The believer is a mirror of another believer. So the point of all of this, if you were to take an individual as a friend solely for Allah's cause, when that individual knows that you're doing certain things, you're lacking as it relates to your character, you have character flaws, he may see the way you deal with your family. For an example, you're willing to spend a lot of money to eat out with him. For an example, you spend a lot of money, 40, 50 pounds, you pay your part. But when it comes to your house, you may not spend the money. He'll tell you, this is not right. Your family has more rights. Ya akhi, what you said wasn't correct. I think you went overboard in this issue. You weren't fair, you weren't just. The way the people are right now is, he can have his best friend. And his best friend has a smell coming from him. He may have bad breath, for an example. He won't tell him you have bad breath. Most people won't tell people that. Even though the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to take the bay'ah from people that they would give nasiha to every Muslim. Give nasiha to every Muslim. Abdullah ibn Jarir al-Bajli radiyallahu anhu said, bay'atu Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ala an uqima as-salat wa utiya az-zakat wa ansaha li kulli Muslim. I gave the bay'ah that I'll establish the salat, I'll give the zakat, and I will advise every single Muslim. So look for yourself a Muslim brother who you're going to love him for Allah's sake and his sake alone. I want to share with you something very quickly, ikhwani, and it's important because a lot of people get it twisted and they get it mixed up. There is a famous statement that says, you do not know an individual until you've done a few things with him. You do not know that individual until you have traveled with him. You do not know that individual until you've done business with him. You do not know an individual until you have slept with him. You know, you slept together in the same place, not slept with him the other way. some crazy people use that to prove the permissibility of homosexuality. And the last thing, you do not know a Muslim until you have actually eaten with him. You've taken a meal with him. This statement many times is attributed to our Prophet and our Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is not the case. It's not a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Instead, it is a statement of the Amir al-Mu'mineen al-Faruq Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu. And it is a statement that requires us to sit down and study it. Someone should teach this effort. And why did he choose these four things? And the importance of not being too quick to put your neck out on the line for anyone until he proves to you that he's worthy of it. You want to advise a family to marry this brother? Don't advise until you know that individual. So you do not know an individual until you travel with them. From the hikmah of that is the hadith inside of Bukhari, and we're not going to explain this hadith in detail. From the hikmah of that is that the Prophet told us about traveling sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, As-safaru qit'atun min al-adab yumna'u ahadukum min sharabihi wa ta'amihi wa nawmihi. فَإِذَا قَضَى أَحَدُكُمْ نَحْبَتَهُ فَلْيَتَعَجَّلْ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ. Traveling is a piece of punishment in and of itself. You have to travel, it is punishment. One of you is prevented from his food that he knows, he's prevented from the drink that he knows and he's used to, and he's prevented from sleeping in his own bed, the comfort of his own home. So once you travel and you hurry up, you finish what you did, hurry up and get back to your family. So if you want to know the reality of an individual, then just perform Hajj with him. Just perform Hajj with him. Anyone who performed Hajj, you'll see the reality of each other, the best of us. You'll see him going around the Kaaba, losing his cool, punching people in the face because they're pushing him or pushing his wife. And you tell him, Akhi, you make a tawaf around the Kaaba. He didn't mean it, but he's tired from traveling, and traveling brings out the reality of people's akhlaq. And that's why the scholar says that it's called a safar. Safar means to bring something out. They said that traveling brings out the akhlaq and the reality of people. You want to know the reality of your wife? Then go and make Hajj with her. And while you're on the mountain of Mina, and things are difficult, and you're tired, and you have blisters, and you may have an injury, you may be sick, she comes to you at 9:30, 10:30, and you're trying to get rest, and she says, I want you to go all the way down to the Kaaba and bring me back some Kentucky Fried Chicken. Now you know your wife is a person who is self-centered. That's how it is. So Umar said, you do not know a person. Do not put your neck on the line for anyone until you know that man. Did you travel with him? No. Then you don't really know him. You have a good idea about him, but you don't know him. Did you do business with him? How many people trust individuals because he has a long beard? His thobe is to the nusful sock. He has a miswak in his pocket. And he has a big prayer mark on his head. And all of his kalam is the sunnah, the salaf. And all that is jameel. So because of all of those external manifestations of his love for Islam and the sunnah, you get duped and your money gets stolen. At the end of time, the conditions and the reality of the people is going to change. So this is the time, even though we have husna dhan about the Muslim. I don't know most of you, but I have to have husna dhan. I believe you're praying, fasting. I don't believe you're smoking crack. I don't believe this and that. It's not permissible for me to even think that. I have to have husna dhan. But in having husna dhan, you still have to be careful with the majority of the people. Until the people prove to you, I'm going to put my neck out on the line for this particular individual. And that's why the Prophet told us, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whenever you praise people, to say, Wallahu alam, Allah is his hasib. Allah knows best as to his secrets. Allah made it haram. وَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنَ التَّقَى. Do not praise yourselves. Allah knows best who has the taqwa. Who has the taqwa. That's the third thing. Look for yourself a serious friend. Even right now, Akhwani, a man should start to contemplate who his friend is right now. Because the enemy will bring more benefit to you than a friend who is jahil. A friend who is jahil will do nothing but hurt you. He'll call your house, and when your wife answers the phone, he'll start to give information, not intentionally. He'll start giving information about your program and your project that you and him are supposed to do, and he informs your wife of things she didn't need to know because he's jahil. He doesn't have experience, he doesn't have common sense. Al-mar'u ala deen khalilihi falyanzur ahadukum liman yukhalil. The individual is on the religion of his friend. So look at the one who you take as a friend. And the one who loves you for Allah's sake, and you love him for Allah's sake, he can tell you anything. Your breath stinks, you've been too rough, this, that, and it would not destroy the relationship because you love each other for Allah's sake and Allah's sake alone. Number four, Ikhwan. From the most beneficial things if you want to do to correct your character and to rectify it is to listen to the kalam of your enemy, and not to be of the people who they don't pay attention at all to what the enemy is saying. Everyone has an enemy. The Anbiya and the Rasul salawatullahi wa salamu alayhim, they had enemies despite the fact that they were loved by Allah. And if Allah loves someone, he tells Jibril to love him. And then if he tells Jibril to do that, in the sama to love him. And then Allah sends his love down, and it's in the dunya, on the earth. But that doesn't mean everyone in the dunya loves him. Every Nabi, every Rasul, he had enemies from the ins and the jinn. And not only does everybody have an enemy, but everyone also has people from this ummah who are envious of a ni'mah that Allah gave you. Whatever ni'mah you have, you just had a baby, you just got married, you have a nice car, you've just been given a flat, you got a job, whatever ni'mah you can think of in your life, there are people from this ummah who are envious of you, and they'll give you the evil eye, and they want it to be taken away. He told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, isti'inu ala injah hawa'ijikum bil kitman. فَإِنَّ مِنْ وَرَاءِ كُلِّ ذِي نِعْمَةٍ مَحْسُودٍ. If you want to be successful in the things that you do, then don't go out telling everybody, I want to get married to so-and-so's daughter, I want to purchase this car, I want to move here, I want to go to Medina to study, I want to perform Hajj. Don't tell everybody. Tell the people who need to know. He said, because behind every ni'mah, every favor that Allah bestowed upon you, there is someone who is envious of you. And if they're envious of you, they'll give you the evil eye. So don't just sit there, Ya Abdullah, and just say, oh, mashallah, that's a nice hadith. Sit there and think about a favor that Allah bestowed upon you. And know from that ni'mah are those people around you who are envious. So if you want to get married, just tell the one who has to know, because he'll advise you. If you want to do something, tell the people who have to know, and you know they're going to take care of the secret. So listen to what your enemy says, because your enemy, more than anyone else, he wants to expose your faults. The enemy of an individual, more than anyone else, he wants to expose your faults. He has a problem with you, so he wants to expose your faults. In Al-Islam, we take the truth from wherever it comes from. Ayatul Kursi and the virtues of Ayatul Kursi, all of you know. The hadith of the shaitan who stole from the zakat, the tamar from the zakat, and he taught Abu Huraira Ayatul Kursi and the virtues of it, that it is the greatest ayat of the Quran. So some of Allah's kalam is better than other kalam of Allah. That came from Iblis, that knowledge. The Yahudi lady, she said to the Muslims, to Aisha, ni'ma qawman tu ma'ashal muslimin lawla annakum tushrikuna billah. You Muslims are good people if you just didn't make shirk with Allah. Aisha said, A'udhu billah, we're ummah of tawheed. What do you mean we make shirk with Allah? The Yahudiya said, you people say, MashaAllah wa sha'a Muhammad. It was as Allah wanted, and it was as Muhammad wanted. The Yahudi knew that was shirk. The man said, in Rasulullah's presence, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ma sha Allah wa shitta ya Rasulullah. It is as Allah wants and as you want. Rasulullah took his finger and started poking the man in his chest hard. Aja'altani lillahi nidda. Qul ma sha Allah wahdahu. Have you made me a partner with Allah? Say ma sha Allah only, by himself. So Aisha went back to Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, told him what the Yahudiyah said. Rasulullah didn't say, oh, she's just a Yahudiyah, we don't take their narrations. He says, Sadaqatil Yahudiyah. That Jewish lady spoke the truth. That's shirk. Another Jewish lady told her that the people are punished in their graves. Aisha didn't believe that. She told Rasulullah what the Yahudiyah said. He said, the Yahudi lady spoke the truth. So the enemy of an individual, إخواني وهؤلاءهم أعداؤنا, the enemy of an individual shouldn't just be flagged off like that. You should listen and pay attention to a certain extent if you want to better your character. Where is that at in the authentic Sunnah? That's many places in the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah mentioned to Rasulullah in the Quran sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the statement that Rasulullah said to those kuffar, وَلَقَدْ لَبِثْتُ وَلَقَدْ لَبِثْتُ فِيكُمْ عُمَرًا مِّن قَبْلِ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. He said to those kuffar, I have been here with you in Surah Yunus, ayat number 16 or 17 from Surah Yunus. I've been here living with you people from Quraysh. I've been living with you already for a long time. I've been here 40 years. Before I became a Nabi, you had ample time to weigh me up, to see whether or not I'm a liar, whether I'm Majnoon, whether I'm a poet, whether I'm a soothsayer, whether I'm out to get your money and to rule over you. 40 years I've been living with you. Don't you people reflect? So that was an argument against them, a hujjah against them. The reason why Tabbat Yada Abi Lahabin wa Tab was revealed. He called those people together. Ya Quraysh, come together. Got something I want to tell you people. If I were to tell you that the enemy was fastly approaching from this direction, from this mountain, would you people believe me? They say, yes, you're Muhammad al-Amin. Why won't we believe you? He said, then I'm warning you of a grievous punishment that will befall you if you don't believe in La ilaha illallah. Abu Lahab told him, this is what you brought us together for. This is why you called us. Tabbat yadaka ya Muhammad. May your hands be destroyed. And the ayat was revealed. So his enemies told him, we will believe you. Why not? You're Muhammad al-Amin. When he wanted to leave Mecca to make the hijrah, he could have took all of their money. How could your enemy leave his property with you as a trust? Why didn't he give his property to another one of his friends from your enemies? They are all united against you. But instead of leaving their property with each other, they left it with him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It came into the Kaaba when they were disputing. Who's going to put the black stone in its proper place? The first person who walks through that masjid door, we're going to choose him. Abu Qasim, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, came through the door, and the people said, look, it is Muhammad al-Amin. So his own enemies established the level of his akhlaq. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. You, ya Muhammad, are on a high level of akhlaq, because even your enemies, who are truthful and just and fair, they themselves acknowledge that. The 100 most influential people in the world, that man who wrote that book was a fair and just non-Muslim. As for the rest of the people, these kuffar who lie on Rasulullah and say that he was molesting girls, little girls, he was a womanizer, he was Majnoon, he spread his religion by the sword, then those people are not fair and just. They're not fair and just. They hold on to shubahat. You know the shubahat. One of the biggest shubahat that they have is the Muslims themselves. The Muslims themselves. The Muslims who want to kill kuffar. The Muslims who want to make fitna and fasad in the earth. The Muslim youth who are going around robbing people, acting crazy, no distinction between them and the hip-hop crew other than in their names. We give those people the ability to say, yeah, Muhammad is a liar. Because if he was the truthful one, we would see it reflected in his followers. So listen to what your enemy says. Too many examples. When Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu was an enemy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, an ardent enemy. He was from the Amir. He was from the Umara of the Kafirin. He went to the Majlis of Hiraqal. Hiraqal asked a simple question. He said, tell me, what was the condition of this man before he started claiming he's a Rasul and a Nabi? Hiraqal has some background knowledge about the prophets of Al-Islam. What was the condition of the man? Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu on that day said, we don't know anything about him other than the truth. He was not a liar. He didn't lie. Abu Sufyan said, I wish I could have lied on him, but I didn't want the people to say that I was a liar, so I told the truth. We didn't know and we didn't hear that he made any lies prior to this claim. Hiraqal, one of the fair and just kuffar of that time in certain issues, he said, I don't think the man would tell the truth as it relates to the kalam of the people and then come and lie on Allah. So the statement of his enemy showed the level of his akhlaq. Jafar ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, when he went to the Najashi, and we don't say radiallahu anhu concerning the Najashi, the leader of Ethiopia, because he wasn't a companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So don't say about the Najashi that he was a companion. Waraka ibn Nawfal was a companion, the cousin of Aisha radiallahu anha. Because the companion is that human being who saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He lived with him, he was there, he met him. Even if he was blind, he met him. He believed in him and he died believing in him. That's a companion. He met him, believed in him, and died believing in him. The Najashi never met Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so he is from what the scholars of hadith call a new word. I'm going to come and ask you at the end of the talk, inshallah, the mukhadram. The mukhadram, that's an important word in our religion. We have the sahabi, he was a companion. We have the mukhadram, he was an individual who lived during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He went to Medina, he embraced Islam and he went to Medina to meet him, but when he got there Rasulullah was dead. But he never met him. He may have even been older than Rasulullah, younger, but he didn't meet him. That's a mukhadram. And then we have the tabi'i, those people who met the companions. And then we have the atba' at-tabi'in, or the tabi' at-tabi'in, those people who met the tabi'in. Jafar ibn Abi Talib said to the Najashi radiallahu an Jafar wa rahimallahu ta'ala an akhina al-Najashi, Allah has sent to us a Rasul and a Nabi from us. We know his lineage, we know his history, and we know his amana, and he's a man who takes care of the amana. He's Amin. So even though Jafar wasn't an enemy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made a statement to someone who wasn't a Muslim at that particular time, describing the reality of the akhlaq of the Prophet of Al-Islam salawatullahi wasalamuhu alayhi. So that's the fourth thing, ikhwani, to actually take the time out to listen to what your ex-wife said. Just because she's your ex-wife doesn't necessarily mean that the haq is not with her. She said that you're stingy. It may be true. So some of us with our families, when we have disagreements and misunderstandings, it's always the other person's fault. In our case, the wife's fault. She's not understanding correctly. She's not this, she's not that. No, the real Muslim who's trying to make himself a better person, he takes the time out to listen. Pay attention to what people are saying to you and about you. Perchance, it may be true what they're saying. But again, You have to do that moderately. That doesn't mean that you should spend a lot of time listening to what your enemies have to say. Especially now, the enemies of an individual, they may even claim to be upon the sunnah. And they're on the sunnah, inshallah. But because they're your enemies, they'll lie on you. They'll lie. So that clearly shows that the individual, he needs to not pay too much attention. You just have to be moderate in the middle course. Number five, and the last thing that we're going to mention concerning this, and there are many things that could be mentioned, and this particular thing is something that many people neglect, and that is a dua. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to perfect his character, just as Allah perfected his creation, to perfect his khuluq, just as he perfected his khalq. And if Allah azza wa jal decides to perfect someone's character, or to give him something, or not to give him, then no one can speed it up, no one can delay it other than Allah. So the dua of the slave is answered by Allah if he makes that dua. وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ أُدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي سَيَدْخُلُونَ جَهَنَّمَ دَاخِرِينَ. And your Lord said to all of us, call on me and I will answer your supplication. Anyone who was arrogant about making dua and supplicating to me, they will enter into the Jahannam lowly. Rasulullah told us sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, man la yadu'u Allah yaghdabu Allahu alayh. Whoever doesn't make dua to Allah, Allah becomes angry with him, because it's a sign of kibr. The person who doesn't make dua every day for the things that he needs, it's a sign that he sees himself as being self-sufficient. أنتم الفقراء إلى الله والله غني عن العالمين. You people are poor and we're in need of Allah, and Allah is not in need of anyone in the alameen, no jinn, no malik from the malaika, no human beings other than that, righteous or irreligious. In the hadith al-Qudsi, he told the people, tabarak wa ta'ala, ya ibadi, lo anna awalakum wa akhirakum wa insakum wa jinnakum kanu ala atqa qalbi rajulin wahidin minkum ma zada dhalika fi mulki shay'a. يا عبادي لو أن أولكم وآخركم وإنسكم وجنكم كانوا على أفجر قلب رجل واحد منكم ما نقص ذلك من ملك شيئا. If all of you people from Adam all the way to the last person, all of the jinn, all of mankind, if you all had the heart of the most righteous man, the heart of a Nabi or Rasul of Taqwa, all of you, he said, that wouldn't increase my kingdom one bit. And if all of you collectively were on the religion and you had the heart of the worst person from amongst you, from the kuffar, because the best kafir is lesser in degree than the worst Muslim. If you had the worst heart of the worst individual, the heart of Fir'aun, all of you, that wouldn't subtract from my kingdom one bit. So we're the ones who are in need of Allah Ta'ala's rahmah, his tawfiq, his rizq, and other than that. So why don't the people make dua? Ghafil and ghafla. People are not cognizant. Everyone knows the importance of it. وَإِذَا سَأَلَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي أَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبُ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِي إِذَا دَعَانِي. If my slaves ask you about me, ya Muhammad, then verily I am close to them. I'll answer the call of the one who supplicates to me. Look at one of the tremendous lessons of the Quran that the ulama took out. So many ayats of the Quran say, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ أَنَا الْمَحِيدُ. They ask you about the women's menses. Allah after that will say, قُلْ هُوَ أَذَى فَاعْتَزِلُ النِّسَى فِي الْمَحِيدُ. Tell them, Muhammad, the woman's menses is a hurt. So you men, avoid having sexual relationships with them in that condition. Allah will say, قُلْ وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ أَنَا الْأَهِلَّةِ قُلْ هِيَ لِمَوَاقِيتِ. They ask you about the new moons. Tell them. Qul. Tell them. Is to let you know about the new moon. يَسْأَلُونَكَ مَاذَا يُنْفِقُونَ قُلْ مَا أَنْفَقْتُ مِنْ خَيْرٍ. They ask you about what should we spend, what should we give Ya Rasulullah for my money. Tell them, قُلْ, tell them whatever they spend of good, they'll find it with Allah. All of those ayat, they ask you this, they ask you that. يَسْأَلُونَكَ أَنَ الْأَنْفَالِ قُلْ قُلَ الْأَنْفَالِ لِلَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَاسْلِهُ ذَاتَ بَيْنِكُمْ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. They ask you about the spoils of war. Tell them the spoils of war for Allah and His Messenger. All of the ayahs, they ask you this, قُلْ, tell them that. But when it came to the issue of dua, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي أَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. If they ask you, if my servants ask you about me, Allah didn't say tell them, because we don't need any middleman. We don't need anyone to go between us and Allah. If they ask you about me, then verily I'm close to one of them. So he doesn't have to go to the grave of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He doesn't have to say to the one who's going to Medina, when you go there, give my salams to Rasulullah. Tell Rasulullah I need this, tell him I need that. He doesn't have to go to the peer or the saint or other than that. It's just you and Allah azza wa jal. So the dua, ikhwani, is from what the Prophet taught us sallallahu alaihi wa ala alihi wasallam, will help an individual because it is the weapon of the believer. And while I'm on that point, I want to remind all of you of what I deem and consider to be one of the best books that was written on dua in any language, Arabic or English. And that is the book of Abu Ammar Yasir Qadi, from our brothers from America, beneficial brother who is now getting his PhD from one of the prestigious universities there in America, one of those universities that's similar to Cambridge here in Oxford here. It's called Yale University. He wrote that book called The Dua, The Weapon of the Believer. That's a book that your household cannot do without. And I'm not talking about purchasing the book and then put it on the shelf. We're talking about getting the book of dua and learning the fiqh of dua. Because the one who makes dua, it will equip you. There's no one here except that he has issues. Financial, marital, our children are sick. We have so many issues. Allah, His Rasul told us, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يَنْزِلْ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ الدُّنْيَا فِي ثُلُثِ الْآخِرِ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَيَقُولْ هَلْ مِنْ مُسْتَغْفِرٍ حَتَّى أَغْفِرَ لَهُ وَهَلْ مِنْ سَائِلٍ حَتَّى أُعْتِيَ وَهَلْ مِنْ تَائِبٍ حَتَّى أَتُوبَ عَلَيْهِ. Every single night in the third, last third of the night, Allah descends to the sama al-dunya in a way that befits His majesty, in a way that He knows its reality. We believe in it, we establish it, but we don't go into the details of it. He comes down and he says, is there anyone seeking Allah's forgiveness so that I will forgive them? Is there anyone asking for something? He's not married, asking to be married. He needs money, asking to be enriched. And is there anyone who's trying to make tawbah so that I will forgive him for his mistakes and his indiscretions? So those are five things that we wanted to mention here today concerning this issue. Doing the Q&A session, if there is a Q&A session, which I think there is going to be, inshallah, maybe some other things will come out. But just to recap what we mentioned, number one, the person has to first believe that his character can be changed. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu was a tough man in Jahiliyyah. He was a tough man in Jahiliyyah. Abu Talha al-Ansari was a tough and rough man in Jahiliyyah. Abbas, the uncle of Rasulullah, Abu Sufyan, they were some tough individuals in Jahiliyyah. They didn't mess around and they didn't take any shorts from anyone. When Umar came into this religion, Allah changed his condition. And that's why the hadith of Rasulullah is so important for us, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, qal, man qala linnas, aw man qala faqad halaka linnas. فَهُوَ أَهْلَكَهُمْ. Whoever says that the people have been destroyed, then he destroyed them. He looks at the condition of the Muslims and he says, the Muslims are out of it, they whacked out. So he starts to look down upon people in a condescending way. He's looking down upon everyone. I'm on the hop. I'm holier than thou. I'm better than everyone else. You don't know. Brewi, Deobandi, Hanafi, Madhabi. You're this, you're that. And I'm like this. So he doesn't make any efforts to give dawah ila Allah in a way that is nice. The one who says that and looks at the people like that, then he's the one who's most destroyed, because he put a limit on the abilities of Allah. Just as Allah Azza wa Jal guided Umar, he can guide anyone from amongst us. Just as Allah guided the man who killed 100 people, I don't think there's anyone here who killed more than 3 people. There may be some people who killed 1 or 2 or 3, but I don't think anybody killed more than 3. I don't think so. That man killed 100 people from the believers. 100 people is a number that you can't fathom. The greatest sin after shirk is murder. لا يزال المرء في فسحة من دينه ما لم يصب دما حراما. The man will always have a chance as long as he doesn't spill blood that is not halal to be spilled. Blood should not touch that earth unless you have a legitimate religious reason why it touched that earth. You're a doctor and you gave him a circumcision. You're a doctor and you pulled his tooth because you're a dentist. You did cupping on him, so his blood hit the earth. You fought jihad, the true jihad that the scholars of Al-Islam are behind, the jihad that eradicates fitna and fasad and zulm, that real jihad of knowledge, and people's blood hit the earth. But to get into a fight with a Muslim or a non-Muslim and his blood hits the earth is a kabira from the kabair. No one's blood. Al-Islam came to protect 5 things. They call them the fuqaha, the dururiyatul khamsa. Islam came to protect the religion of all people. La ikraha fi al-deen. Can't compel people to be Muslim. They have a right to make shirk. And it came to protect your deen. Islam came to protect the money of the people. Riba, haram, and all those other things. Islam came to protect the lineage. Can't marry your mother, your sister, your nieces. Can't make zina. Because you make children who are illegitimate, you mess up the lineage. And Islam came to protect the honor of each and every individual. Can't backbite, can't slander, can't lie on people, can't bear false witness, can't make accusations against people without the dalil, without the proof. And number 5, Al-Islam came to protect, what was mentioned? Anybody write them down? Huh? The Islam, the deen came to protect the money. I mentioned the money of the people. The deen, the lineage, the honor, the money, and what else? Al-Islam came to protect the intellect of the people. Can't smoke weed, can't drink liquor, can't smoke crack, can't do any narcotics, can't give your mind to the people of innovation, can't go to people of deviation, who are people who make you crazy, fill your head and your brain with things that are not permissible. And from those things, as I mentioned, that was the point, the blood of the individuals. That man spilt the blood of 100 people, but Allah forgave him. So how can one of us come and treat the community of Al-Islam, the Muslims, who many times are ignorant, I'm holier than you, you don't know, the people are astray, everybody's whacked out except me and my group, or me and my masjid, and that's something that we don't want to cultivate ourselves on, or cultivate the shabab of our community upon, because it brings nothing but evil, because it's against the religion of Al-Islam. Yarhamakullah Ilyas. Okay, Ikhwani, we're going to stop here with Naqtafi Bihad Al-Qadr, and open up the door for any questions that you may have, or even comments that you have, or corrections you may want to make from what was mentioned that was not correct. You can do that at this particular time as well. Oh, I thought this was a napkin, man. Anybody have a napkin or a tissue? Anybody have a napkin or a tissue? Okay, Juan, do you guys, you brothers, have any questions? لا تخافوا. And if you don't have questions now, don't stop me when I'm walking out with your questions. سبحان الله. Just one, أخي كريم. أكرمك الله. تفضل يا شيخ. الله يكفي. أكرمك الله. Before I take the questions, let me ask you. The individual, like the Najashi, he's not a tabi'i, he's not a companion. The Najashi is what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You, Ahi. You. What was the Najashi? What was the word that we used to describe the one who was a contemporary of Abu Qasim and Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but he didn't mean him. What is he called in this deen? Mukharraf? That's close. You're Arab? Allah yahdik ya akhi. Kul amin, kul amin. Allah yahdina wa iyakum. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4. My man, yeah, my brother. What is he called, the individual who was a contemporary of our Nabi and our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Everyone is nervous. Everyone is... Kwani, this is not an issue to be nervous about. Either you know or you don't know. But we should be kind of shy and embarrassed a little bit. Because I'm going to tell you something. The way we're getting knowledge is not the way that we're going to really raise off of ourselves ignorance. Coming to lectures and just listening to lectures and sitting back and listening, it has its place. The main place for just sitting back and listening is on the day of the Jummah. So you can be made to feel your iman goes up and get reminded. But knowledge, ikhwani, as the hadith said, is by you struggling to get knowledge. And the way you struggle is by being a person who gets yourself a notebook that you keep organized. Multi-subject notebook if you can. And you take notes in that notebook. And you go back and you write what you learned. Because you're not going to be able to memorize. That's why the khutbah is very short. Because the people don't have long attention spans. So most of the stuff will go over your head. When the Prophet told his companion sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, خُذُوا أَنِّي مَنَاسِكَكُمْ, take from me the rites of a hajj. A man came and said, Ya Rasulullah, I can't memorize everything. I can't remember all of the things that you're saying, all of your what you're doing. So he told some of the companions, اُكْتُبُوا لِأَبِي شَاهِ, write for Abu Shah. Write the rites of hajj for that man, which is the dalil that he allowed them to write the end of his life after the Quran was complete or almost complete. So you have to be students of knowledge. And a student of knowledge is the one who he develops for himself a minhaj. He goes, he takes a class somewhere in Tawheed. He goes and takes another class somewhere, 40 hadith of Al-Imam An-Nawawi. Goes and takes another hadith, a class about the Mustalab Al-Hadith, Arabic language. Memorize the Quran. That's how you're going to get knowledge. Okay, the last person who's going to save us, inshallah. 1, 2, 3, 4. Akhi, 4. You, right there, you. What is that individual called? You don't know. SubhanAllah. 1, 2, 3. Akhuna, enter, enter. 1, 2, 3. You, you, you. What is he called? No, right there, the brother in the grave. Fool. Yeah, you, Akhi. What is the one called? Who knows? Put your hand up. Now I'm going to keep calling the people who don't know. And you should put your right hand up, not the dirty hand. Alright, my man right there. What is he called? Yeah. Al-Mukhadram with a ba-ba-ba-ba-leen. Mukhadram. Mukhadram. And a companion. What is the definition of a companion? Who is a companion in Al-Islam? What is a companion? He ate with him. Lived with him. What is a companion, Akhi? What about Ibn Umar? Ibn Maktum, who Ibn Abd Maktum didn't see, he never saw. They were blind companions. The man who needed someone to take him to the masjid, he never saw Rasulullah. You. Good job. He met him, believed in him, and died. If he didn't meet him, he's not a companion. Some people met him, believed in him, and then apostated. So they're not companions. So he's a person who met him, believed in him, and died. Umar radiallahu anhu said, you don't know a person until you've done four things with that individual. Abdul Latif. What four things did Umar say? You don't know a person until you've done those four things with him. You travel with that individual. You've eaten with that individual. You slept with that individual. What does sleeping with him mean? Naam, you're sleeping with him. It's the night time. There's only one blanket. And he says to you, Tafaddal ya akhi, you take the blanket. We're going to perform Hajj. There are 10 people to a room, but there are only 9 mattresses. He runs and he gets not only one mattress, but he doubles up. So now there are 8 mattresses with 10 people. And his mattress is the highest because he's self-centered. Or his individual says, you're the eldest one from amongst us. You take the mattress, ya Sheikh. So you see his akhlaq. When people are tired and they want to go to sleep, they're not trying to have no long discussions about anything. They just want to go to sleep. We know how it is with our family. When you want to go to sleep, last thing you want to hear is some kalam from some woman. You just want to go to sleep. That's the nature of Bani Adam. So you'll see the akhlaq of that individual at that time. What's the last one? Someone help him with the last one. Did you do eating and business? You did those two, right? Oh yeah, you know him when you do business with him, if he's trustworthy, and eating with him as well, ikhwani. It's you and your friend, you and the brother. He invites you over at home. The wife makes and prepares the food. It's just you and him. She cooked 7 halal sausages. And while he's bringing the food out, he sees there's an extra sausage, so he just eats it to even it up. Again, he's an individual who's self-centered. He should give to his mate, to his guest. Whoever believes in Allah on the last day, give it to his guest. Here in the masjid. And Juma, you find those individuals who they get food, they don't want to eat in front of everybody. They'll go all the way down the street. He'll go to the corner, he's by himself. He has his back to the corner in that room. And he's eating. Wallahi, I saw it yesterday. And he just looks, salamu alaikum, let you know. Whereas the other individual, ikhwani, he's the individual who says, this one french fry, or what you guys call it, this one chip can get me to Jannah. One chip can get me to Jannah. Prophet told us, اتقوا النار ولو بشق التمر. Fear the hellfire if it's only with half of a day. It may get you over the hump. Okay, ikhwani, what else do I want to ask concerning this? Okay, the individual who says, I can't change my character because I've been smoking for so many years. She's been my partner, my girlfriend for so many years. I can't shake this thing. We said that is against the kitab and it's against the waqi that we live in, that you can't change. Give me the dalil from the Quran that dispels that myth and that lie of a shaitan, and give me the proof from the waqi, from the dunya, that dispels that. Anybody? You, akhi. Akhuna. That's another dalil, even though we didn't mention it. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَنْ يُغَيْرَ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيْرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah will not change the condition of a person until he first changes his own condition. Good job. And what is the dalil from the dunya that you can change your akhlaq no matter how wild you are? You may be off the meat hinges in your behavior, You have terrorized your neighborhood. You're a gang member, an ex-gang member, and the people, your neighbors, your contemporaries, everyone is afraid of you. And you think it's not cool to change because you can't. No, you can't. What's the delil from the dunya? Enter. Go to the circus. Just go to the circus and see the animals that have been changed. Like the hawk and the eagle. You don't always have to go to the circus. You can go to the desert where the man has a hawk that is bigger than the torso of a man's body with talons that can rip your neck off. Good job, Ikhwani. Okay, I'm going to answer the questions now, inshallah, from the floor. If you brothers have any questions, to put your questions forth. Tfaddal, tfaddal. Akhi Ibrahim.
What about the brother who he becomes angry because of another brother's harsh character? So he brings out the words of him as because of the brother's statement on his behavior. Is it permissible then in order to bring back change to stay away from the individual?
It would depend if a person has harsh character, harsh behavior, and as a result of that, his brother becomes angry and he also deals with him harshly, for an example, as a result of that. Is that okay? It would depend. We've been commanded, as Allah said in the Quran, Itfa bin lati hiya ahsan. Push back and repel the evil that you see with what is better than it. Don't repel it with what is worse or similar, with what is better than it. That would bring about the good results. But we just have to have hikmah, that's all. That's the answer. You have to have hikmah. And as we mentioned on so many occasions, hikmah is putting everything in its proper place. Being angry in the place where you should be angry. Using shidda in the place that you should be shadid, rough and tough. All of that is al-hikmah. So the one who is rough and tough, maybe the only language he understands is the rough and tough language, so therefore you're going to deal with him that way. But in dealing with people, ikhwani, the asl of our mu'amala is al-leen, wa-rifq. Softness was never put inside of anything that's even a rough and tough hearted person, except that it beautified it. And it never was taken outside of anything, except that it made it ugly. In the hadith of Abu Mas'ud, he was being rough. Rasulullah told him, don't do it like that. He told him in a nice way. It brought about a good end result. The man, his name is Muawiyah ibn Hakam al-Sulami radiyallahu anhu. Famous hadith, slapped his slave girl because she let the wolf eat some of his sheep. And then he became remorseful, told the Prophet about it, and the Prophet tested that lady. Where is Allah? She said, over the sama. Who am I? You're Rasulullah. He said, free that girl. She's a believer. Then he told the man, verily Allah will punish those people who punish his slaves in the hereafter. So the man gave sadaqah in addition to freeing the girl. He was rough. Rasulullah responded nicely. People grabbed him on his thobe, his neck. He responded nicely. But then there are those people who he was tough with. So it's going to depend upon that particular situation. Now, any more questions, Ikhwan? Smoking shisha. I was asked this question recently about shisha, hubbly bubbly, that the people smoke. And honestly, I can't say anything, number one, because I never read anything from what the ulama of Islam said concerning it. I never read any fatwa myself, nor do I know whether or not shisha has any elements in it that are harmful. So I'm not going to say it's haram or halal because I don't know, which doesn't mean you should look at it lightly. It should be investigated, and then you find out what the ulama said about it and why. As for me, I don't know, and I don't and won't smoke it. Any more questions from the floor? Akhuna, the good student in the back, because he was raising his hand for every question, mashallah. What's your name, man? Hussein. Why following the Salaf is not considered to be following a deviant way. Following the companions of this community, Ikhwani, is an obligation upon every single Muslim. And I don't think that there is a real Muslim who has a problem with that concept at all. Every single Muslim who is worth his weight in salt is going to recognize and acknowledge the position of every single companion in this ummah. The companion who lived in the desert and he came and urinated in the masjid is better than the greatest scholar who's living today. He's better than the four imams. He lived in the desert and he came to Rasulullah's masjid and urinated in the masjid. He's better than all of those ulama who came after the companions on the strength of the fact that he was a companion. So we've been commanded by Allah Azza wa Jal to follow their way in the Quran. We've been commanded by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to follow their way in the authentic sunnah. And we've been informed, if you choose to follow other than their way, then you are in trouble. You're the one who is on a sect. As Allah Ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, وَمَنْ يَشَاقِكُ الرَّسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى وَنُسْلِهِ جَهَنَّمْ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا. Whoever opposes the messenger after the knowledge, after guidance came to him, and he followed a way other than the way of the believers, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ, then we will turn him to that way. That sect, that idea, will turn him to that. Let him go that way. And his end result will be an evil abode, an evil destination. So the Quran is filled with ayat like that, and the authentic sunnah is clear that he told us, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that this ummah is going to break up into 73 sects. They all be rejected except one. They asked him, which one will be accepted, ya Rasulullah? He said, the sect that is doing what I'm doing today along with my companions. So now we have a responsibility to bring the knowledge of that concept to the people. And if we see people who are claiming to be upon this, misbehaving, not treating us right or justly, then we have to make the distinction between this is that person's individual characteristics, but the concept of following the companions remains the truth. And we can't allow people's behavior to cause us to reject the truth, as many of us, we do that. Now,